Well, just a couple weeks ago, I was named the rector and president of my alma mater, Mundelein Lyon Seminary. I think one reason that Cardinal George asked me to take that role is that I've been involved in this work of the new evangelization, and now two popes, John Paul and Benedict, have been calling for the new evangelization to be the central concern of the church, but especially of seminaries and of priesthood. So perhaps the Cardinal wants me to communicate some of this wisdom I've gained from this work to the students. So I've been thinking recently about just that, is what would I tell my charges at Mundelein Seminary about the new evangelization? And here are a few ideas, anyway. First, I would tell them about the new ardor. In 1983, John Paul gave a famous speech in Port-au-Prince in Haiti, talking about the new evangelization. He said it's new in method, new in expression, and new in ardor. That's always stayed in my mind. New in, you know, energy and enthusiasm and commitment. Aristotle, long ago, in his great treatise on rhetoric, said, people really only listen to an excited speaker. Strikes me as right, you know. You might be right about something. You might be even kind of logically persuasive. But if you're not excited about what you're saying, people don't listen. Now think of, you know, an advertiser, think of a sportscaster, think of a politician, and think of an evangelist. If they're successful, what do they have in common? They're all palpably excited about what they're communicating. And people will only listen to excited people. Now, I was trained as an academic. I do academic writing and so on. And I realize that's a virtue in the academic arena, to be a little bit cool and detached, and you look at all perspectives, and, you know, really kind of serious academic writing isn't exciting, usually. And that's fine in the academic realm. It won't work, though, in the evangelical realm, unless you are really motivated, and visibly so, obviously so. People won't listen. And, you know, what strikes me is, open up the New Testament, any page from Matthew to Revelation, you will find this palpable excitement. These people want to communicate to you about Jesus risen from the dead. There's this grab-your-lapels quality to the New Testament. They want to tell everyone about what they've experienced. That's what makes effective evangelism, I think. Here's the second thing I would tell my students. You've got to be grounded in the Bible and the great theological tradition. Now, this might seem obvious, but I think it's worth pointing out. There are a lot of people, you know, full of goodwill and full of enthusiasm, full of energy and all that, advocating for the Christian gospel, but who don't, frankly, have a lot to say. They have a lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm, but where's the beef, you know, as the old ad used to have it? Where's the substance? I won't name this person, but it's a very famous televangelist in America. I saw many years ago on Larry King's show. And he's being interviewed, and then the calls came in, right? And a caller said, I'm just so concerned about, you know, suffering and all the evil in the world, and how could God possibly allow for this, etc., right? The famous problem of evil, which is massively handled in the Bible, which is addressed by every major theological figure. I mean, from St. Paul to St. Augustine to St. Thomas Aquinas to John Henry Newman to the Fathers of Vatican II. I mean, there's huge amounts that you can say about the problem of suffering. Well, this evangelist, I remember, heard this classic question and said, you know, ma'am, I'm sorry, I'm just not much of a theologian. And what struck me, I was watching and thinking, his license should be revoked. Because, can you imagine like a surgeon coming on and someone asking, you know, a pointed question about surgery, and the guy saying, you know, I'm just not very good at anatomy. I just didn't study much of that in med school. I think you'd revoke his license, wouldn't you? So here's someone advocating for the Christian faith, and one of the most basic questions is being asked, and he has nothing to say about it? Come on. I want the new evangelist to be really grounded in the old technology, in the old evangelism of Paul and Augustine and Chrysostom and Jerome and Anselm and Bonaventure and Aquinas and Ignatius and John Henry Newman and Urs von Balthasar and John Paul II. I want them to know that tradition. More to it, to know the great artistic tradition. That's why in the Catholicism series, you know, we're so strong on the arts and on architecture and music. I want them to know Dante and to know T.S. Eliot and to know Gothic cathedrals and know the Sistine Chapel, etc. That's where the great tradition is found. When you combine the energy and enthusiasm, the new ardor, with all of this rich content from the tradition, then you've got something powerful to communicate. Here's the third thing I'd say to my students. And again, Aristotle comes to mind. He said, people only listen to an excited speaker. That's true. He also said, whatever is received according to the mode of the recipient. That's a nice little laconic phrase, but it's really telling, isn't it? Whatever is received according to the mode of the recipient. What that means is you're a public speaker, and you're saying something that's really compelling, that's logically correct, that's full of rich content, but you're not attentive to your audience. You don't know your audience. You don't know their expectations, their prejudices, their fears, their aspirations, their capacities. You don't know that. You're not communicating. Right? Whatever is received according to the mode of the recipient. Now, that's a fancy way of saying you got to know the culture you're addressing if you're going to address it effectively. Again, you could be right in everything you're saying about the Christian faith, about morality, about dogma, whatever it is. You could be right as rain. But if you don't know the culture you're addressing, you won't communicate to it. So I think you need to know high culture and low culture. I want people to know what's going on in the salon of San Francisco as well as the drawing rooms of the Upper East Side. I want people to know what the opinion makers at the New Yorker are saying and so on. I also want them to know what movies their people are seeing, what TV shows they're watching, what kind of music they're listening to, what's going on in the popular culture. When you know that, then you can communicate the gospel in a way that will be heard. See, that's the point. You might be right, but you won't be heard unless you know what the culture is about. A term I've used, before talking about these YouTube videos is the old, in Greek, it's called logoi spermatikoi, semina verbi in Latin, seeds of the word. Church fathers talked about that. When you know a culture, you will recognize the seeds of the word. So the word of Jesus Christ, the fullness of God's word. But there are hints and echoes of it everywhere. Whenever people are seeking the good, the true, and the beautiful, you're going to find seeds of the word. Well, those are seeds that can grow. Those are things you can work with as you're evangelizing. When you look out and you say, hey, yeah, look, that reminds me of, that's redemption. There's creation over there. There's the hunger for God over there. There's God's providence over there. Is you're noticing the seeds of the word when you are deeply in touch with the culture. I think I've used it before, but that great image from Karl Barth, the greatest Protestant theologian of the last century, that the preacher, I'd say the evangelist, should hold the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. That's a good model for knowing the culture and so on. Then lastly, I would say, and maybe it's obvious from the work I've been doing the last several years, new evangelists have got to know the new media. Is you've got to be versed, I think, in Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and the various ways, the myriad ways now on the internet we're able to communicate. We are at a time that's comparable to, I think, the Gutenberg period. We're at an explosion in communication. Even a generation ago, Fulton Sheen just had radio and TV, but now we have these communication means that can get the message out 24/7 all over the world. We have a hugely important means now of communicating to the wider world. New evangelists have to know it, be comfortable with it, and be willing and able to use it. I'll just say, by way of conclusion, I think this really is a kairos, the Greek term for privileged time. It's a privileged time to evangelize, and we shouldn't shrink from it. I mean, we should embrace this time, but do it with that new ardor. Do it with a deep knowledge of the tradition. Do it with a very engaged sense of the culture, and do it using these new media. And then we'll take advantage of this great Kairos moment.